Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Sheriff Tom Dart is joining the show now, and lots to talk with the sheriff about. How you doing, sir? How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Anna. It's been a long time. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know, and so much has transpired. So
I know, that's
right?
An understatement.
And for you, especially. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
No, it's been that overwhelming type of thing. The job's always been very complicated, don't get me wrong, but with COVID and all the different parts of it, just, between the jail, between our policing, and then now the eviction side of things, too, it's been very complicated, very, very long hours for everyone involved, and it's complicated and constantly shifting too, Anna. That's the other part. That's in all those areas, everything keeps shifting. So there's really no normal, and that's tricky.
Yeah, it is tricky. And I saw that eviction start up this week. Your office is tasked with having to enforce them. And I also saw the editorial you wrote for the Sun-Times about you've given a lot of thought into how you're going to approach this, knowing that nobody wants to be kicked out of their home, and no small landlord can afford necessarily to keep people who aren't paying either. It's a difficult balancing act. It's a difficult thing to be tasked with.
Anna, it's weird. Back in 2008, we had the other eviction crisis pop up, and that was due to all the financial issues and a lot of issues with the banks and a lot of the mortgage companies and how they gave out mortgages and something like that. It was clearer, for lack of a better word, to sort of say, okay, this is the good guy, bad guy thing, where some people were horribly misled. They were, in some cases, there was fraud involved, all the rest of it. So it was easier to sit there and say, well, the tenants are the one you really have to be focused on here. This is completely different. There is no good guy, bad guy here. This is literally housing providers who are losing everything they have. I mean, they have one or two buildings. They haven't collected any rent for a year and a half. They have to pay their mortgage. They have no money. They're going to lose their buildings. And then you have tenants. They've lost their jobs. And so they had no way to pay. So this one is got so many different issues attached to it that the other crisis did not. And hopefully the federal and local efforts on rental assistance is going to mitigate it. But Anna, none of us, I mean, from me on down, has any clue. You see these wild numbers of 250,000, 300,000 evictions are going to be ready to go. Then you see other numbers in the 30s and 40s. And the bottom line is no one knows, because no one really even knows exactly how many people have taken advantage of these programs yet. So it's going to be very, very complicated on many levels.
Are you starting to see big numbers of, things come to your office?
No, not yet, because the courts hadn't opened up yet. So if you had a eviction case and it occurred during the pandemic, none of that paperwork is even into the system yet. So none of us would even know what is down the road. What we do have is we have about a little over 1,300 cases that were all filed and ruled upon by the court, saying eviction should go forward before COVID hit. So we just got the go-ahead Friday night that we can start proceeding with those. And so we've started working our way through those, and we're doing about 30 of those a day right now. And in those ones, I mean, nothing's easy about this. It's a tough thing, but they're only easy in the sense of during the last year and a half, we used that time, I believe wisely, to be reaching out to all the different people involved. So the housing providers and the tenants. And so of that group of 1,300, we've been to that house, I don't know how many times. So we have a pretty good idea that certain houses people have moved out on, so we can do evictions rapidly. And then there's other ones where there's people that might have some type of issue, and we've already connected them with social services. So that 1,300 we were able to do a lot of work on because we had time on our hands. This deluge that's going to happen, in the months ahead, that's anyone's guess.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's so many different individual stories too, and I'm sure you find this. You've heard the stories of the person who can afford to pay, but just say, "Hey, I'm not going to pay because I don't have to." And then the small landlord who doesn't, who's got to pay the mortgage still, can't afford that. Then it causes a problem. But then you have this other category of folks truly lost their job, down on their luck, really can't afford it. There are these rental subsidies available, almost $1.5 billion in Chicago and Cook County and Illinois. You write about this too. It feels like they're well publicized. Do you get the sense, or have you seen any data to show that people are utilizing that money, they're finding it, and it's getting through fairly quickly?
No, that's the part that's sort of a head-scratcher right now. So just of that pool of 1,300 that are the pre-COVID ones we're going to do, we're just trying to get verification notices from those folks that they have not subsequently availed themselves of one of these different rental assistance programs, and we're getting very limited feedback. We have sent letters, we've posted notices, we've done all these other things. We are not getting the data back at all to give us a heads up on where we're at with any of this. And so it's one of the things we've been telling anybody who'll listen. If the case wasn't an eviction sort of format, but since then you've received rental assistance and you and the landlord are all on the same page together, please get the verification forms to us, get them into our system so that we aren't having to show up at your door for starters. But then in addition to it, frankly, waste a lot of time because we're going to have a lot of these to do. And we have the social service component I put in back in 2007, I think it is now, where we go to the door because I used to go out on these a lot, and when I did, it was just, I mean, obviously heartbreaking on both sides. You'd see these horrible situations of, many cases, seniors living by themselves with dementia issues and stacks of unopened mail laying everywhere, and children and a single family, and the mom lost the job. And then you'd see the apartments that were just destroyed by the tenants, and this poor landlord is sitting out there, and that person just lost their entire investment. So we put this social service unit together to try to mitigate all that and to get out in front so we could work with the people in the house as well. And so we're still doing that, but we know we're going to be overwhelmed. And so we're just looking for as much input from both sides of it, the housing provider and from the tenant, so we can use our resources best because we know we're going to be overwhelmed here.
So is the first notice, is it in the mail? How does someone find out that they're kind of due for this?
You know, there's been outreach done through numerous forms, but a lot of it, Anna, is it requires the person to have been paying attention and knows that here's the phone number to go to or here's the website to go to. And some of them, like I think it's, there's multiple ones. There's a city site, there's a county one, there's a state one. And one of the three just opened up Monday, and I think it's open until mid-July. If you go to any of the three sites there, it's pretty well advertised so that they can access it. And we have people that are reaching out to folks, too, to explain it to them if they need it. If they have questions, they can contact us as well, and either by phone or via our website, and we can walk people through that. So everyone is trying their best to do that because we know this is going to be bad.
I know you are. And so if people are listening to this now and they say, you know what, I could use some resources and some help or guidance, do you go to your website? Where do you direct people?
Yeah, our website is www.cookcountysheriff.org/eviction-update. And we can get you anything you need there. And then if you need to talk to a live person, we'll have people available for that as well.
Sheriff Dart, you mentioned something I just want to ask you about again. You said courts haven't opened up yet. I know the mayor has taken some heat because she's talked about a court shutdown as one of the reasons, the drivers for violence. She maybe should have said a court slowdown. Maybe that'd be more accurate. What do you think? How would you characterize
it? Well, I just have numbers, Anna, and I can tell you I've been tracking these for over a year and a half, and consistently there is a third, the courts are operating at a third of the capacity that they did before. So have they been completely shut down? No. But are they at half capacity, three quarters? No. They're consistently at a third of the capacity that we see in the criminal system. And the vast majority of those cases are pleas, which is traditionally the case. I mean, people sort of go down this wild path about talking about, well, you know, juries and this and that. I'm a former prosecutor. Juries are rarities. They just don't occur. They're not what drives the system. So people don't need to go down that path and talk about the complexities with juries. We just need the courts to have the ability to be open for the plea part of it. And they're operating at a third capacity, A, and the majority of the cases are being disposed because the guy sat in my jail so long, he's served all his time already. So he's literally just having their attorney walk into the courtroom and saying, we plead guilty, my time's all done, and the case is over. So it's not exactly a lot of work. It doesn't take a lot of time to do that, you can imagine. So It's the work that's being done is really the hanging fruit there. But that walks you into that other little complication I've been talking about, Anna, because I've had so many people trying to make my job even more tricky than it is. The prison system shut their doors. So even when these guys are pleading guilty, they're still sitting in my jail because the Illinois Department of Corrections won't take them. And then they make up make up CDC guidelines that don't exist to say why they can't take people from me. And so almost 15% of my population right now, like 800 people every day, are not supposed to be with me. And where, how does that complicate me? A million levels. My poor employees are working overtime all the time. They're burnt out. And because why? We have to open buildings that we don't need to have open because I have to have space for 800 people that aren't supposed to be with me. And then you got the cost attached to it. And then the other complication, Anna, is that I've had to move deputies who traditionally would do evictions and things like that to cover some of these buildings because I didn't have enough staff. Hmm. So it's very, very difficult. I just wish there was more people that were really pulling in the same direction here.
Yeah, I do too. And that comes up again and again. I know the police superintendent is going to go before council now in this special sort of meeting, but I think that there are a lot of different actors within the system who kind of have to get on the same page in order for this to be operational. Do you agree?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And Anna, listen, we're not, you know, we've done our part, you know, higher and lower than many other people involved, but we never slowed down. I mean, I showed up at the office every single day other than when I had COVID, and I was here 16, 14 hours a day, and we were working, and my employees were working in really difficult situations, and there is no serious reason right now. There's no legitimate reason why these other entities cannot be ramped up, you know, and now people are starting to talk about the Delta variant, and I'm very much, you know, Anna, most of my friends are so tired of talking to me on many, many levels. And one of them is, it's like, they, you know, I'm like darn close to an epidemiologist now. I can walk you through all the variations because I had to be on top of it. And now people are talking about the Delta and then you need to slow down and be prepared for this. It's like right now, while things are going in a really good direction, we need to be open and open completely. And right now, when you're not, it's not a trickle. It's a tsunami effect on all the rest of us. I mean, I just can't emphasize enough to you. If I had any valid evidence at all, data that said, well, we shouldn't be doing this or that, I'd say, okay, I get it. There is none. And this has been going on with the prison system for a year and a half now.
Yeah, sounds like they're making up reasons, and something's got to change there. And I'm out of time, but I appreciate what you've just told us about, and I appreciate your time. And please tell the men and women of the Cook County Sheriff's Department we appreciate what they're doing as well.
Hi, Shale. Thank you so much, Anna. I really appreciate
it. It's a tough situation. Thank you to Sheriff Tom Dart there.